This week's story was sponsored by Family Silver in Nishmash.
Good morning, everyone. Brishus, my father. So this is, as Dudi pointed out, this is a watershed moment in my speaking in Torah. I don't think I've ever done this. I don't know if it's the graveyard slot, but it's the parsha theme slot, which is when you have nothing else to put, maybe there's no other speaker to get. But this is the first time with a parsha theme. I think for the past, like I've spoken here since I was in Israel about eight or 9 years ago, it's always been halacha, halacha. So it's also where I find myself, because I've just got a new job. And for years I've taught in the Montefiore Kodal halacha. And so although, you know, parsha, I always did a bit, but never a lot, because when you have to learn something, then that's when I think you learn it the best. I think that's one advantage of being a teacher or a rebbe or a magid shir, is that you don't have a choice. You know, we're coming after Shavuos, Nasa v'Nishma, they said, voluntarily, and then you've got the image of the mountain on top of them, which is they're forced to do it, and I'm sure everyone's got countless answers as to why they needed that, but one answer is because you can be inspired to do something, but if you're not forced to do it, it's unlikely it will happen in the best way possible. And I've heard from a Rosh Hashiva, I don't want to repeat his name because I don't know if it was exactly true. And he said to his son, someone we're all familiar with, that if I wasn't paid to give shiurim, I don't know how many svarim I would have written. Which means, of course, it's important, but then there are so many other things. You have parnasa and a bunch of other things that come up on your head. If you're not paid to do something, then, you know, if you have an achrayas, that you have to give a shiur or give a lesson, then that's often the best way to learn Torah itself. So I've never had the achrayas for Parsha or for Chumash, apart from my other life, which I teach year six children in Maida Vale. So actually, that's actually quite a high level, but I've only learned a few parashas with them of Shemois and Koyrach, and that's not relevant to this week's Parsha. So this is new. You know, there's the famous joke they say, again, I've heard it years ago, and I don't know if I'm repeating it correctly, but there's three people went up to Shemayim, and they were interviewed by Hashem in Olam Haba. There was a Hasidish guy, a modern Orthodox Jew, and a Yeshivish guy. So the modern Orthodox guy, Hashem says, come on, so tell me something that you've learned in the 120 years that you had in this world. So he starts talking about twinning philosophy of Aristotle together with the Torah and the Rambam's true derech of integrating everything together, causing the perfect Jew, and this is just the ideal, and we're not too narrow-minded, and we're not too closed-minded or open-minded, this is the middle, the perfect Rambam's way, and so he could tell him some science, and he could find a proof for that in Chazal, and everything, and he walks away and he's done well. Then the Chassidish guy comes, and he tells him Shtich HaTor from Abitzotek HaKoyim, he talks about Yerushimayim, he talks about Shmira Sinayim, he talks about Tfilah and the connection that he felt, and then the Yeshivish guy comes. So in yeshiva, you know, you learn a few briskarovs and the two duff of Gemara, and often there's not much completion. I'm talking for myself, maybe it doesn't reflect anyone else's experience, but you learn how to learn. So he has nothing to say. So he says to Hashem, tell me about Torah and I'll ask you a really good question on it. But he can't give anything from his own knowledge. And maybe that's reflective of my experience. I don't know how broad that is, but there's a truth to that, which means in yeshiva, you know, especially the advantage of, I think, in the Frumah Olam is that we send the boys to yeshiva for many years. It's not 1 year where you have to pack everything in, and you have an opportunity to sit by Talmidei Chachamim and learn how they learn from their Maaser Rav, how they live with their families, but also learn how they learn Gemara and approach sugyas. And it's expected that after you get married, whether you're in Kollel or whether you're working, you'll take all the messages and how to learn and sit and finish Shas yourself until you're 100 years old. So that's the truth to it. But this is new, and it's not such a good place to start. Because if you started with a parasha theme, Nasa is the longest parasha. So, you know, we could have started with Vayelech or with Shoiftim, and that would have given a completion of the whole parasha. You start to open Nasa, and the topics that are thrown on you of Saita, of Nazir, of Birkas Kohanim, of the carrying and dismantling of the Mishkan are immense. But I'll do my bit, and let's hope for the best. It's hard to start with Nosso, but that Abai Wanel says Nosso should have been a bit longer. And I'll tell you, very interestingly, you know, the reason why he says this is because we're starting actually bang in the middle of a story. With Hashem and Moshe and Aaron are assigning roles to all the Levim. And it was very precise, down to which one of the crushim they should hold. So there's the dismantling of the Mishkan, there's the making sure no one comes in as you uncover it and as you pack it up, and who's going to carry what as you're going through all the masos in the desert. And that's the job of the Levim. Then there's the Bnei Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And in last week's parasha, in Shvi'i, we discussed the first role, the roles that were given to the family of Kohath. And the Kohath was Zoicha to carry the Aron, the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the best, so to speak, Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. That was Shvi'i of last week. And then we end the parasha, and then we start now with discussing the roles of the children of Gershon. And eventually, subsequently, we discuss the roles of the children of Merari. But says that Abai Wanel, we should really have started the parasha from Shvi'i last week, and that would be far neater. So that's something I want to address this morning. There's another question I want to ask. Levi had children, three boys, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So all the Rishonim and Achronim in the beginning of the parasha deal with one question, which is Kohath was the middle child. I don't know if he had middle child syndrome. Well, he definitely didn't after he was treated really well. But he definitely was the middle child. And if he was the middle child, why was he Zoichan eligible to carry the Aron, which is what everyone was fighting for? So the Aron is the Shpitz, the Menorah is the Shpitz, and that went to the family of Kohath. Even though it should have really gone, say the Abai Wanel, says the Kliyaka, and say all the Rishonim, it should have gone to the eldest child in the family. So why was he first? So there's a medrash, Yekarehi Mipninim, which many Rishonim discuss, which means that the Torah is more precious than the Bechira. And the Torah itself is something that deserves honor. So Kohath had Torah in their family, and therefore they deserved to carry the Torah. Who did they have in their family? Because Kohath had Moshe and they had Aaron. And it was the merit of them that caused them to carry the Aron. Which is interesting. My friend Avram Simcha Brief showed me Minchas Chinuch in Shin Samach. You know, it's how long people stay in learning and how should people stay in learning long term. It's a hotly discussed topic, right? How many years should you support someone for in Koilo? How many, you know, should you work and study after you get for a parnasa, or should you wait 3 or 4 years? There's no answer to that, and I don't want to cause myself to be in any hot water either way, so I'll stay clear. But there's what's nice about these topics is you can always find Chazal that indicates slightly, even nowadays, where you should go, that I think everyone would agree to. That's debated, even within the Frumma world, with the Chassidim, with the Litvat, you know, after your Chasna, should people stay learning for 10 years? And then be able to have the enough Torah to carry on with their working life, or should they not? Is it ideal to be there to stay in Kollel for a long time? But one thing we all agree is that there's a mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema, and a Ma'aser Behema means that every 10th animal you give the 10th, you take the if you have a bunch of sheep, the 10th one you take to Yerushalayim. What was the purpose of this mitzvah? You're going to eat it yourself in Yerushalayim. Similar to Ma'aser Sheni, right? You're not going to give it to Tzedakah. Normally Ma'aser is 10%, and you give the 10th percent to Tzedakah. This, you take the 10th sheep, and whatever animal you have, and then you carry it, you take it down towards Yerushalayim. So what's the purpose, says the Chinuch, is that most of us are inclined to follow our baser instincts. We want to make money, or we want to follow the worldly pleasures, and naturally we often don't get necessarily drawn towards Torah. Without even the oil of Parnassah, we're human beings, we have a guf, and that dictates a lot of the choices that we make generally in our life. So Hashem realizes, Hashem's created us. So he's going to put in little protective measures for us to ensure that we live our life al ha-Torah va'al ha-Yira. So what does he do? So what's Yerushalayim? What does Yerushalayim represent? So we're coming towards the 3 weeks. We're coming towards the 3 weeks, and we say, I think, and most drushes, you know, would be about how we find it hard to feel the Beis HaMikdash. But one thing we can all feel, I think most of us can feel, is that we're frustrated that we don't understand the Torah that we learn properly. Or we're left off with like a cloud and many things that are vague. And as well as that, we're not quite clear what we should be learning, Iyun or Bakiyas or Chumash, what we should be stressing. And when Kimitzion Teitze Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, when you lived in Yerushalayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was there, the light of Torah emanated from inside the Beis HaMikdash, from the Sanhedrin, in the Lishkas HaGazit. And you would go to Yerushalayim in order to be inspired. If you wanted to pick up a boost in your Torah learning, or to find out halacha, or to find out what you should do and what you should be learning, then you'd hang around in Yerushalayim. Because when the Beis HaMikdash was around, it wasn't just a place for korbanos, but the Shekhinah and the presence of the Shekhinah that was around the Beis HaMikdash enabled the Torah learning to be at the highest level possible. And we say Gemara in Brachas, Amar Rav Chisda Mai Dechsiv, in Dav Ches Amad Aleph, Oyev Hashem Sharet Tzion Mikol Mishkenos Yaakov. Hashem liked Bati Midrashim, Sha'arim HaMatsuyonim Bahalacha, Yosemi Bati Knesius Bati Midrashas. Hashem likes Shari Tzion, so Beis HaMikdash we're calling is a Tzion, and the Mashar explains that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, the Lishkas HaGazit, the Sanhedrin, they were paskaling halachas, that's where Hashem's presence was, then Torah was at its optimum, at its peak. But then we moved on, and where's that presence of Yerushalayim felt? In the Beis HaMikdash, we're in the Dalet Amar Shel Halacha, where we paskin halacha. So we miss Yerushalayim, and one of the things we miss about Yerushalayim, Ki Mitzion Teitze Torah, is not only the presence of the Korbanos, which maybe not, it's hard for us to feel, but we all learn Torah. And we feel the lack of maybe of clarity or of understanding of even the inspiration before often that we learn. So set them in Chaschinov, so what's the point of Ma'aseh Behema? Ma'aseh Behema is, you're going to have all these sheep, but you're going to have one person, all you need is one person from the family to go down to Yerushalayim. When that person from the family goes down to Yerushalayim, he'll learn Torah. He'll feel stupid if he doesn't know anything. And says the Mechas Chiddush, it's not enough to have a Rav in the shul who learns Torah. People don't necessarily listen to him. And how often do you see him anyway? In order for Torah to be in your family, then you have to have at least one person who's traveling with a sheep down to Yerushalayim, and that in turn elevates and influences the whole family. Which is fascinating, really. Because the Rav's not enough. The Rav can pass him a few shailas. But that can't help you making sure your whole family is keeping halacha, your whole family is learning, and your whole family is on an elevated level. But if you have one person who has to go, they have to go, you can't eat the sheep here, you're not going to waste the sheep. So every few weeks they'll be traveling down. Once he's there, there's an atmosphere of learning. If he hangs around the Sanhedrin, the Beis HaMikdash, everyone's passing new shailas, they're discussing halacha, he'll be influenced too, and he'll bring back that inspiration to the rest of his family, and his family now become a Torah Dikah family, and they're elevated with them. Says the Kli Yakov, the Moshe and Aaron elevated the whole family of Kehas. Now the way the Kli Yakov explains is that there was the schus of their Torah learning. But the way the Menchas Chinuch understands, you all you need is one person in the family and that elevates everyone. So just ensure that when you have a shitta to work or to learn, and you know, there's so many opinions, you need to get at least one person there. So thank you, yes, I've done that for us, yeah, it's all right. No joke, I'm not being so presumptuous, right? But you have to have, interestingly, according to the Chinuch, one of the cousins somewhere has to be in Koilo the whole day long. And they have to come to the Chanukah parties and the Purim parties and the Seder night, and they'll be discussing the Kibbutz and driving everyone mad about the Kazayas, and they'll be saying, "Ach, you shouldn't have you shouldn't allow your children to watch that on their phone." But you need one person. And that's a Chinuch. It's hard to argue with this. So make sure if everyone's professional and everyone's the businessman in the family, you've got one Rav in Shul, good luck to your family, says the Chinuch. And that's not enough, because the Rav is not going to live in your house on Chol HaMoed. He's not going to be there with his white shirt when everyone else is in their blue shirt, and he's going to be saying, ugh, this is us, sir. But you need someone like that, as irritating as it may be for the people around. That's how your family is going to be ensured. So make sure you have, if there's no one else, I think it should be yourself, and that's the chinuch. And look what happened here. So it says the kliyaka Moshe, kahas gershon, gershon the bechor. The bechor is mipninim, it's something beautiful that's inside. Yukarahi mipninim. The whole family of kahas was elevated. They all got to take the aron. Well, you had Korach in the family. It wasn't, maybe, not everyone was ideal, but Moshe and Aaron were there in the middle, and especially Moshe was there in the middle. When you've got one Talmud Chacham in the family who's receiving here the Torah from Hashem, then that enables everyone to be elevated with them. And here, in this instance, you could carry the Aron. And everyone was fighting, according to all the Rishonim here, to carry the Aron. Everyone wanted to carry the Menorah. These were the seats of wisdom, of anything special you wanted, rather than the B'nai Merari that got the crushing. You wanted the ideal. You wanted the Aron to carry you. The fire that came out, the Gemara says, the beginning of the Aron. Everyone was desperate for that, and the whole family got it because they had one Talmud Chacham in the middle. So I think I found that very fascinating when he showed that to me, because it's such a political issue. But I think everyone's got to agree with the Chinuch, you know, whether Torah Nasa, not Torah Nasa, you need at least one. And if you need at least one, then your whole family will be elevated to become a Torah Dikah family. That's number one. There's another question on this that I had as I was going through the parasha. In last week's parasha, when we're counting, when we're telling Kahas what to do, it says in the Pasuk, Vaydaber Hashem, Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph, El Moshe ve'el Aharon Leimar. Hashem gave the command of how things should be done with Moshe and Aaron. Then we come to the beginning of this week's parasha, Parshas Nasai, Vaydaber Hashem, El Moshe Leimar. It only says Moshe. And many of the Rishonim note that Abarbanel notes already. We're not going to look at his answer, we'll look at a different answer just to move on. Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz asked in Torah Yehonas, in Chumash Yehonas, I don't remember what it's called, it's a safe in the back of Rav Chana's. I think Mabenu Yehonas, I think it's called. It's a pirush in all the Pesukim in the Torah. And he asks, why was the command to Kahas given in front of, with the help of, so to speak, Moshe and Aaron? And the Nasai, the Gershon, was Vaydaber Hashem only El Moshe without Moshe and Aaron. So I think he says something quite radical as far as I've never seen such a thing before in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I didn't really get to the full understanding of it, but I'll share it with you and maybe together, I would hope. You know, we discussed before, Ki Mitzion Tetzeh Torah or Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. We're coming towards the next part of the Jewish calendar, right? It's the 3 weeks. We have to prepare to understand what we're missing for Yerushalayim. We're missing the Lishkas HaGazis, the Sanhedrin, the clarity of Halacha, of Torah, that's what we're missing. The mountain that Beis HaMikdash is on is called Har HaMeria. So Meria is either the Mer, that apparently in the times of the Akedah, the Rishonim say, it grew on the side of the mountain, the musk, the Mer, not the musk, the Mer. Musk comes from an animal's neck, I think. The Mer, or Har HaMeria, Har HaHaira. The Akedah happened and the Beis HaMikdash was built on the bed of Torah, on the bed of where Psak, Torah was at the bottom of all of it, the Sanhedrin. Har HaHaira, Har HaMeria, where you paskin halachas, like we mentioned, similar to what we mentioned earlier. There's a Gemara in Zvachim that says there were actually other peaks in the Dar Adama base, which he quotes, there were other peaks that Har HaMeria that the Beis HaMikdash could have been built on. But some of them were two. It was Bein Kesef of Shachin, the Pasuk says, right? It was between two other peaks. I tried to look at pictures of Har HaMeria. I couldn't quite picture this, but maybe it slightly changed or I couldn't see a picture. So what Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz says is that Har HaMeria was somehow in the middle. There was a very high mountain, I don't remember the name that he quotes, and there was a much, much lower one. We're not talking about Har Sinai now. We're talking about where the Beis HaMikdash was built. The Beis HaMikdash was built with the backing, and what underpinned it was the Torah. And Har HaMeria, in terms of its size, was the middle one. Says Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz, why was that so important? Why was Hashem careful to make Har HaMeria, the mountain of instruction of Torah and the Beis HaMikdash, which aided that, put it in the middle? Because we know, you know, you can't be too much of a Baal Gaiva. I just remembered a story that I think my father-in-law told me, Menachem Krauss, I think it was Rabbeinu Finkel. I think it was one of, when he was in Meir Yeshiva, I think it was him, I don't remember if it was him, but one of the Finkels definitely, I think it was him, he had a friend, a bacha, who was walking past his dira, and he, the Rabbeinu was had all the svarim open on his table, and he was clearly preparing a shiklal, he was living and learning. And then the bacha knocked on the door, and then his wife brought him in, and he was sitting on the couch. He was waiting for him. He said, "Hi, nice to see you." Almost as if to show the human, I don't want you to come in and see, "Oh, I'm so chashuv, look at me, you come to my house. All I do is learn, and I'm not interested in showing you that. I have the humility to accept that." So obviously we know you can't be too humble, but that's an obvious, you can't be too haughty. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, the Torah is not given to a Talmud Chacham who thinks he's above everyone else. Yet there's another Gemara in Saita that you can't be too low. You have to have an eighth of Gaiva. We don't have an eighth, and Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that there's a purpose to that. You know, if you're too low, and if you're too much with the people, exactly, people won't listen to you. It's not because you have to have an eighth of Gaiva because you deserve it, which is some people look at the Gemara, a Talmud Chacham has to be a Shtolz. It was not just intrinsically because he deserves it, you know, he's learned so much. It's because no one's going to listen to you otherwise. Obviously you have to be with the people, but there's always a certain bit. You have to be slightly detached and slightly aloof and slightly superior, just so that the rest of Klal Yisrael is looking towards you as someone who would do something for them. And if you're the same, it says Rashi in Saita, you're not going to get the same respect and your halachas won't be the same. But says Rabbi Yonis and Ivershitz, therefore you have to be in the middle. And you have to be in the middle, which is not too haughty and not too humble. And that's the perfect place for Torah, and that's the perfect place for Talmud Chacham. Comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, of course, Moshe and Aaron were in the family of Kost. I'm not interested in that reason. You have to make it for yourself. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave specifically the carrying of the Aaron to Kohos was to make this point. You shouldn't be too haughty, you shouldn't be too humble, you should find yourself in the happy medium in the middle. Kohos was the middle brother, and that's where the Torah should be found. Where you're accessible, you're not too haughty, but you're not too humble either. Then he says a fascinating thing. He says, that's why in last week's parsha, when we discussed the appointment and the jobs and the division of labor to the Bnei Kohos, it says Moshe and Aaron. Where in this week's parsha, when we discuss the division of labor for Gershon, we say just Moshe. Because Moshe onav mikol Adam, he's only Moshe could have been on that level to be too humble. It's not for anyone else. And if you think about it, Har Sinai was also the lowest of all mountains. We don't start making this contrast of being in the middle. Maybe at the time, my opinion is, the time when the Torah was given, you had to be extremely humble to receive the presence of the Shekhinah. But says to be honest, Ivershitz, that's not for the long term. It was onav mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was making a point that the Torah has to be accepted with humility, just like water goes to the lowest place, so too the Torah does, but be careful. Make sure you have Aaron and the Kahuna and a bit of Shtolz next to you at the same time, making sure you're in the middle. So when it comes to last week's parasha of the Bnei Kahas, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to give this appointment and division of labor just with Moshe, because people will think that Kahas is getting it, because he's the middle child, and I'm going to be, no. Don't be too humble. You're going to make sure Aaron's there as well, lifting up the humility slightly for the eighth. And this week's parasha with the Bnei Gershon, there was no need for that, because there wasn't a message necessarily of Torah itself. And I'll leave off with one vok that I heard in the shir. It's not something I learned myself, but you know, in my new job, as I said, in the JLE, a lot of the boys move on to yeshiva, and there's also a discussion of what the purpose of yeshiva. And also, how long, like similar to what I said before, how long you should go to yeshiva for. So obviously it's different if you're a Baal Tshuva or if you're brought up from, but I think in essence, a lot of it is the same. And that's why this Baal Torah stuck with me. What's the purpose of going to yeshiva? You know, so in this week's parasha we discuss Nazir. And we discuss the fact that, you know, a Nazir sees the sight of a Kalkula and he realizes his life's a bit of a party life, he's drinking too much, there's nothing meaningful. So he goes the other extreme and he grows his hair, no more tamei mason, no more yayin, and that's it. And now, in that way, he'll be hopefully purified and come back afterwards to the happy medium of Sadin HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a regular way. So the Gemara says in Soita, Nazir, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. 30 days for a Nazir. Says the Meshech Chochma, that's not specified. It's not specified 30 days in the Torah for a reason. Because if it would say 30 days, people would think, oh, this is a 30-day plan. It's not like that. Your nazirus you need as long as you need. as long as you need to be a Nazir, when you start to feel that you're not desperately tempted for wine or to do Averis, whatever you're doing, that's when you should stop. Now, usually, that could happen in 30 days, and it was kind of a halacha l'moshe meisina. It was gemiri gemiri la, says the Rosh. It was passed down, and they attributed it to a word. They attributed the word to yia. Yud and hey, then yud and hey, which is 30 days, and that's the gematria. Obviously, this is not one of the shloish esrei midas, the gematria. It wasn't pshat, they saw the word, and they saw 30 days. It was more of an asmachta. It wasn't a din d'rabbana, because nazir's d'oraisa, but it was passed down the tradition for 30 days. And like any asmachtas, it's almost like, I think the Ritva says in Megillah, or someone says there, that it's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the work for Chazal to do, to find hints for the halachas that they made. So 30 days. 30 days is year. So I heard from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, who's giving a shir on Mesha Chachma, he says, year is also, in Chazal, always means something should remain. V'hoyu, shlo yikari lemafreya. Years, it should stay. So it should be for 30 days, but the essence of a Nazir should be that after you finished being a Nazir, all the effects of becoming a Nazir have remained with you. And if they haven't remained with you, then there's no purpose to them. So I was thinking, the same when a person goes to yeshiva, it has to be a year, right? You have to be able to go, so that obviously the purpose maybe for some people would be to stay learning forever. But for most of Klal Yisrael, that doesn't happen. So what's the purpose of going or for sending your sons to yeshiva? There has to be a year. Maybe they'll be there, okay, maybe for 6 years, but for the rest of their life, the morning, afternoon, evening, Shabbos, Sundays, it's a year, it's remained. Everything will be there always forever, and that's what I think I would tell people. What's the purpose of going? You need one point when you're a Nazir. Yeah, when you're in yeshiva, you look like a mess, your shirt's not ironed, your hair is longer, you don't shave until you're on shidduchim, and everything's a mess, and there's not much good food. You're a Nazir. Shez Meshachma, do it as long as you need to do. There is a minimal period, the Chodesh. Chodesh is something that you learn. Chodesh is something that you learn which is new. Lamed. Lamed day, says Rabbi Einstein, but Lamed is Lamed, is to learn. 30 days, normally you can change a habit, says he explains, to do something new. But there's no point if it's not a year. Year means it will be. Vayihi chein. Right, we say in my speech, it was like that forever, says the Ramban. So year means it will always remain forever. But he says one interesting thing. That, you know, we just passed Lag BaOmer. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he goes in the cave for 12 years. This is my edition, so if it's not what he had in mind, then I apologize to him if he ever zooms into the Torah. But, you know, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai goes into the cave, and then he comes out of the cave. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him, the Gemara in Shabbos, to go back into the cave? He sees this person working, and this, he says, oh, you're not, and he burns everyone with his eyes, he's very judgmental. Hashem says, you're not from my world. And he goes back in, and he comes out, and sees a simple Jew buying flowers for Shabbos, says, ah, oh, and Hashem says, okay, welcome, come back, and then the story continues. But says, you know, he says in the Shir, why Tumei Mesin? How's that going to help you in terms of moving away from Gashmis? Maybe hair, as you look like a bit like someone who's unkept, you're not drinking wine, but Tumei Mesin, you're not, and there are many reasons for this, but he says a beautiful reason, why can't you be Tumei Mesin when you're a Nazir? Why can't you bury it? It is because when you're a Nazir, you might start feeling very, very superior. You might become very, very detached from everything around you. And you look around at everyone thinking, oh, we should die anyway and go to Olam Haba. And anyway, what you're doing is a waste of time. So that's not Yiddishkeit at all. You were in a terrible situation. You were drinking the whole night. You weren't davening Shachris Mincha Mariv. You weren't learning, but your midas were a joke. Your marriage was a joke. You had to go to be a Nazir. But for the rest of the time, all it should be was it should be a year. You should do this. Come back and let the effects remain with you forevermore. So why do we keep away from Tumei Mesin? Because Tumei Mesin almost is like, no, you should have nothing to do with dead. Don't start thinking nothing's worth it. Don't start thinking it's all negative. We're just going to die soon anyway. You have to be able to complete your mission of Avodas Hashem in the world with happiness, with the rest of your family, going to a chasna, drinking wine. There's a message it's giving. It's not so much that the Tumei Mesin is moving away from something which he was tempted to do. People are not desperate to run to Wilsdon to bury the dead, like you're desperate to have a cup of wine or to drink some whiskey. But maybe once you're in that state, you may think nothing's worth it. You may start feeling even like a bit depressed. You may start feeling like, oh, we're going to go to Olam Haba, and that's the ikka, and now I'm such a tzaddik, and you look badly at everyone else. So the point is, no. The point is to come and live life to the full with all the mitzvahs, and in that merit we should be zaycha this year, before the 3 weeks, to see Mashiach. So Kedim, Eri, Amen, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bye.
Excellent. Beautiful.